The Ireland-Portugal Business Network is comprised of more than 200 member companies based in Portugal and Ireland. These companies are from a wide range of industries and professions and represent in excess of 25,000 people.
Welcome to the IPBN podcast. I'm Ellis Dixon, the marketing and content manager of the network, and joining me today is Tony Redondo of Cosmos Currency Exchange. Today, we will be discussing some general client issues around the integrated subjects of currency exchanges and international payments that Cosmos can help solve. I had the privilege of interviewing Tony for an IPBN Spotlight article last year, and I had such a wonderful time chatting with him, so I'm particularly excited to introduce him to our listeners so you can get to know him a bit better. Before we begin, let me explain a bit about Tony. Tony Redondo is a seasoned professional with over 39 years of experience in the financial services industry and a qualified associate of the Chartered Institute of Bankers. Having held senior management roles across various banks and brokerages, he founded Cosmos Currency Exchange in 2020. Cosmos offers a unique service for clients needing to make or receive currency payments in over 35 currencies across more than 50 countries worldwide. Unlike the typical transactional self-service models prevalent in the finance industry, Cosmos emphasizes a bespoke, proactive, relationship-based approach, treating each client as a unique individual. The company's growth is driven entirely by referrals, which Tony believes speaks volumes about the quality of service provided. Cosmos has earned 8 industry awards to date, including the prestigious Best Proactive Currency Exchange Service 2024 from the Global Business Awards. Tony, that was a mouthful. Thank you so much for joining me and welcome to the podcast. We're delighted to have you.
Thank you very much for the invite, Alice. Good to be with you.
So as we were preparing for the podcast, we came up with a few questions that can highlight the message that you'd like to send to the IPBN. So I'm going to start with question one, and I'll let you take over from me. So with so many of us online these days, it's never been easier for startups and SMEs to have international clients and suppliers. But how can they minimize the risks involved with international trade, including currency fluctuations? Like, and furthermore, how has Brexit affected moving funds from the EU to the UK?
Okay, so first part of the question, Ellis, everybody is online and it's very, very easy to either have suppliers and or clients overseas these days. The issue is that the banking system hasn't kept up. So that causes clients issues, partly with the fact you've then got to add a currency risk to the equation of doing business with an overseas client or receiving a service from an overseas supplier, but also with the mechanics of the transaction, because different currencies have different banking coordinates. Like, of course, in Portugal, you use the euro and in Ireland as well, which uses an IBAN and a BIC code. But the American system is completely different. The Canadian system is different. The British system is different. The Australian is different. Dubai is different. So that kind of level of differentiality can cause clients some processing issues, which can add to stress, which can add to delays and costs if you don't know what you're doing. I think the important thing is there are some simple solutions, and then there are other solutions which are a little bit more involved, but I think are worthy of consideration. The simplest solution is to have different currency accounts. So for a supplier in Portugal dealing with clients, for a business in Portugal, dealing with clients or suppliers in the United States, or Canada or Britain, nothing is the easier you make life for your client, the more likely the relationship is to last and prosper. And it's quite easy these days. Most major banks do offer multi-currency accounts. We certainly do. So any client registering with Cosmos Currency Exchange automatically has access to over 35 currencies.
That's insane. It's incredible that you can keep up with that.
Absolutely. And the beauty of our system is you can go to the bank and you can open up a dollar account and a pound account and a euro account and so on and so on and so on. But the bank looks at everything on a case-by-case basis. So every account costs money, monthly fees, and it makes your auditing more expensive because your accountant all of a sudden has to do multi-currency audits. The beauty of the Cosmos system is that you register with Cosmos. We hold the accounts for you so that you don't have to have your own currency accounts. So that saves you the monthly fees. And you only present to your accountant your accounts based in your base currency. So in Portugal, Ireland, the euro. So again, that saves on auditing fees as well. So that's a very simple, practical way of helping to diversify your risk from doing international business. The other thing that you can do is try and find a way of providing your clients with local payments.
Okay.
So for instance, it's all very well a Portuguese or an Irish company opening up a dollar account and putting in their invoice. What most businesses don't realize, because they never get explained this properly at the bank, it's a banking education or issue more than anything else, is the invoice then arrives in the United States asking that client to send dollars to the dollar account in Ireland or Portugal. That's fine, it's doable, but online banking in the United States only works domestically.
That's
So the
true. Or it
client
carries a
is.
huge transaction fee.
Exactly. So the client, all of a sudden, first of all, they've got to stop what they're doing. They've got to get in the car, drive to the bank, fill out a form, pay a fee to get the monies across. So one of the ways that again Cosmos can help clients is we do have local collection accounts. So for British clients, we have, or for clients in general, we have a euro account in Dublin, which becomes important when I go on to talk about Brexit. And secondly, we have a dollar account in New York. So all of a sudden, that Irish or Portuguese company or business doesn't have to open up their own dollar account. They simply register free of charge to Cosmos. The invoice goes out with the dollar account details in New York. And that allows the client in the United States to make a free of charge online transfer through their local ACH banking system. So it makes life nice and simple for the client, saves costs, saves fees, saves time, and is a very you're offering a service to make a payment of your invoice as simple as possible. So that works really, really well for a lot of our clients. Now, the thorny issue of Brexit. Regardless of everybody's political views, I'm not going to go there. I'm not a politician. I'm completely apolitical. But
Certainly
the
don't go
truth
there
is,
today. Not today.
exactly. Not today. Today, let's not talk about politics, particularly after yesterday. But the issue with Brexit is that it has complicated matters for payments between the Eurozone and the UK. So typically, to send euros back to the UK for conversion to sterling before Brexit, for most countries, including Portugal and Spain and Italy and Greece and France and what have you, would be a typical flat fee of about 20 euros. But now the UK is outside the EU single market. So some banks, quite a lot of banks, sadly, in quite a lot of Eurozone countries now use that to charge percentage fees based on volume transferred. So, typical scenario, a British person sells their apartment in the Algarve, wants to move 200,000 euros back to the UK. What used to charge flat fee of 20 euros can now cost 3,000 euros because you're sending the euros out of the Eurozone. It's an international payment, not a domestic payment. We recognized that at Cosmos. So what we did is we opened up a Euro account in Dublin, which is inside the single market, so that our clients can register with us under their Eurozone address before they complete on a sale of the property. And that gives us the right to channel their monies back through Dublin. And because the payment is then between Portugal and Ireland, or Spain or Ireland or France or Ireland, it's seen as a domestic transfer because it's all within the EU single market. And that stops the banks from charging those nasty percentage fees.
Oh, it's a chef's
So
kiss in
it's
my book.
again, exactly, a practical solution to an issue that shouldn't really have arisen, but has arisen, and doesn't look like the banks are in any mood to be nice to clients. They're going to use it as a reason for charging a percentage fee rather than a flat fee.
Well, to me, it sounds like you're doing the world an amazing service. Well, again, political views aside, it's refreshing to know that there's somebody out there that's willing to help, and someone with your background especially, it's refreshing. That's the word that I can say.
Thank you.
So let's go on to the next question. Maybe you can illuminate me on this one. Are there any additional risks the further afield you go? For instance, in North America or Australasia or Southeast Asia, etc.
Yes, there are, is the simple answer, because the further you go, the higher the risk, because we're of the lack of familiarity or with the political stability, with the local economic system, the regulatory environment. Is it a wild west? Is it very, very rigorous, or something in between? Plus the practical issue of different time zones. 9 o'clock in the morning in Lisbon, sorry, 9 o'clock in the morning in California or Vancouver is 5 o'clock in the afternoon in Lisbon. So if a client in California or British Columbia wants to speak to you in their afternoon, somebody's in for a late night in Europe. So again, that might not matter to some people, but it should be a consideration because of, do you want to work 20 hours a day? Because all of a sudden, you have clients in Australia, you have clients in Europe, you have clients in the United States. You have to have a lot more knowledge of different political systems, different economic systems, the local regulatory issues. With the major economies in the world, there's quite a convergence of regulatory regime. So the British regulatory regime is quite similar to the European one, even after Brexit. It's quite similar to the American one. There might be nuances, but it's quite similar. The difficulty comes when you're dealing with countries outside the G10. So how many people are have a working knowledge? Use an example. Vietnam is a very fast-growing economy and doing really, really well at the moment. Yet their local currency isn't available. So that causes an issue straight away, because then you have to deal with a third-party currency like the dollar, because the Vietnamese dong isn't available in international markets, let alone how many people have knowledge of the banking system in Vietnam, the regulatory system in Vietnam, health standards, employment rights, the use of child labor or not child labor, or 1,001 other issues. So it's true to say that the further out you go, the potential more complications there are. But that doesn't mean to be negative or to say don't do it, not at all. It just needs a little bit more work. And of course, there are things you can do to mitigate those risks. Regulatory risks. There are lots of regulatory agents that offer services. For example, in the UK, Cosmos is a member of the Department of Trade and Industries export body. so that any new business, any business in UK looking to export and wants help with their currency, rather than just do a Google search and end up talking to somebody they may never ever heard of, you can go to the government website and see a list of suppliers that will deal with regulatory regime, with export licenses, with export finance, with currency exchange that our members, are listed under the government's website. And that should give you a little bit more comfort that, that business is real and authentic and not a bunch of cowboys. So, yes, there are enhanced risks, but they can be managed.
Okay. I'm not currently doing any business with Vietnam, but the moment that you started speaking about it, I had an incredible amount of anxiety. And all of a sudden, even though I'm not doing business as I say, I feel so much more relaxed about things. I mean, really, really important information, and I appreciate you being so transparent with it, because it could be a source of incredible stress for companies willing wanting to expand, seeking to expand, but just not knowing how to do that. So in terms of investments, should businesses look for diversity in various currencies? And if so, is there a particular portfolio they should be looking at for some kind of inspiration?
Very good question. I think it's important. It's the kind of question that I think, in my opinion, a lot of businesses tend to think, oh, that's, yeah, I'm not established enough yet. I'm too small. That's for the big boys. But I would disagree with that. I think it's important to understand that actually one of the good things about online is those democratized businesses. 20 years ago, if Cosmos wanted to have do business in the United States, there was only one way of doing it, and that's to open up an American division, have a registered office, have an office out there, have staff out there, and all those overheads and all those costs before you even know whether it's going to work or not. The beauty these days is that I can just network, meet American clients, meet American suppliers, do business out there, and they check you out, you check them out, and nobody really cares where you're geographically based anymore. Not really. The idea of, Cosmos is in the UK, that we won't do business with them because they're across the pond, doesn't, I can't honestly say the last time I had that kind of conversation with a client. If ever in the 5 years that Cosmos has been in place.
And
In terms
when do
of
you think
diversity,
that kind of change came about? Not to get too far off topic, but I'm curious, like when did you feel the shift really happen? I mean, it wasn't the after the dot-com and when the internet was founded. It took some time.
it
So
took
what
a
do you think?
long time. The real catalyst, Alice, has been COVID, because we had no choice. Businesses had no choice. Before COVID, it was always, yeah, but it's a different time zone, and there was always, you could see the attraction of it, but the issues were very apparent as well. And so it allowed people to perhaps procrastinate, or to leave it on the back burner, or to think about it, or what have you. Then COVID hit and everything shuts down. And then it doesn't matter if your client lives next door to you or the other side of the world. You either stay open somehow for business and survive, or you don't.
That's right. And
And
working
so,
hours weren't necessarily a thing. There was no such thing as 9 to 5 at COVID.
exactly. All of a sudden is, oh, you're in Australia. Which side of Australia are you in? Okay, well, that's fine, no problem. I'll meet you. What time suits you? That's fine. That's fine. And then you look and you think, oh, blimey, that's 11 o'clock at night. But you've got the, you if you don't do the business, it's obvious what's going to happen to your business. Or you perhaps, take the afternoon off, and then do the meeting at 11 o'clock and win that business and live to fight another month, and I think because everybody's back was against the wall, so to speak, with COVID, it kind of like all of a sudden, for the first time in all our lives, we had no choice. And therefore, those that wanted to survive did, and those who didn't. You know, it was simple. You know, that's a bit blunt, but I think certainly in my experience, I mean, it's funny. I registered Cosmos 5 years ago yesterday.
Happy anniversary yesterday.
Thank you. So, you know, you'd think somebody with 35 years business experience at a time, you know, great, has worked it all out and has sussed it all out and has got everything in place. What happened in reality? I registered the business on the 20th of January 2020, and 6 weeks later, lockdown. And in the weeks leading up to that announcement, there was a lot of speculation.
Sure.
And honestly, Ellis, I was adamant that there was no way we were going to have lockdown. Not a chance. I was very dismissive about it. My argument was, this country, the UK, didn't even lock down during two world wars. Why would we lock down over the flu? That'd be daft. Not a chance. No way. What happened? We locked down. And then all of a sudden, it's like, oh boy, what am I going to do now? But what happened is everybody goes online. And instead of just networking locally or spending hours and hours and hours traveling to, you know, because I love where we live, it's very rural, it's very beautiful, it's countryside and beaches. But it's right in the extreme southwest of the UK. It takes me an hour and a half just to get to the nearest motorway. Takes me 3 hours to get to the nearest city. And so before COVID, networking was a pain because networking was face to face. So it meant same people, same people, same people all the time locally, or hours and hours of travel, hour days and days out of my schedule to drive 3 hours one way, have two, three meetings, drive 3 hours back.
My
And all of a
goodness.
sudden, everybody goes online. And people in London, people in Edinburgh, then there was somebody in Paris, then there was somebody in France, then somebody in Ireland, then there was somebody in Portugal, then somebody in Orlando and Dubai and so on and so on. And think, that's it. The world's your oyster now.
That's it. Well,
So
it's
actually,
certainly a recipe for success for you, even though you had to eat your hat about being wrong about lockdown, but that's okay, you know? Actually, it worked out for the best. That's probably the
exactly
hat probably didn't taste so bad going down.
right. Yeah, a little bit of sugar, it was okay. It was okay. It was
Well,
passable.
going back to the question, I'll sort of like repeat it about the investments and looking for diversity. What in terms of the portfolio you were beginning to explain before I rudely interrupted you, tell me what kind of inspiration we can gain and from where.
Most businesses are very busy. Most people are busy. You know, you're busy with life, you're busy with your business. So you can make this as complicated and involved or as simple as your lifestyle allows. So the complicated bit is there are all kinds of financial instruments that allow you to diversify, whether it be diversify by currency or by bonds, which have been in the news a lot of late, cryptos, you know, and I know particularly with this new president, obviously, Bitcoin and Ethereum and all that jazz are going to have a field day, no doubt. But I'm not a qualified financial advisor. Obviously, I have a banking background. I have general knowledge, but I am not qualified to give financial advice for investments. So I want to make that clear. But there are lots of instruments you can do. You can buy shares, you can buy funds, you can buy bonds, you can go into the crypto world. But you can actually do something very, very simple. When you realize that the foreign exchange market or the currency market is huge, it turns over $7.5 trillion a day. A trillion is 12 zeros.
I can't even, no, that's just insane to me.
$7.5 trillion a day on average. And 88% of that volume is down to one currency, the dollar.
The almighty dollar.
The mighty dollar. And it's funny because I look back to when I started long time ago in 1985, and there were papers then and speculation then about the demise of the dollar. And 40 years later, the dollar's still 88% of the market. The dollar's not going anywhere. So a very if somebody is interested in a very simple diversification tool, obviously you work for your base currency. So Ireland and Portugal will be the euro, in the UK it'll be sterling, but then have some investments denominated in dollars because it's the safest currency in the world. It's the base currency of the world. Everything is priced in dollars. Every commodity is priced in dollars. It has an 88% of a $7.5 trillion a day market share. It's never ever going to go away. It's the safest bet in the world. Might not be the most exciting bet in the world, but if you want an easy way to diversify that doesn't require a lot of time investment and constant looking into it, like I would suggest certain other investments might do, particularly the slightly wilder west type of investments, if I can call them that. A very simple one is you got your base currency, but just open up a dollar account and diversify between the two, because it's never going to go wrong. And if occasionally the euro suffers because problems in Germany or France, the dollar will strengthen.
Okay. Well,
So it gives you a
you
little bit
mentioned
of.
crypto, and I don't want to take too much time for it because, well, for many reasons. But if you are a startup or SME, do you think that they should look to diversify their investments in various currencies outside the dollar, for example, cryptocurrency? And if so, how can companies manage their investment portfolios and track their financial situation if there are different currencies doing different things simultaneously?
I think it's naive to say to poo-poo an investment vehicle where just one Bitcoin is over $100,000. You can argue all you like about the rights and wrongs of it, the regulation of it, the safety of it, but anything that somebody's prepared to pay $100,000 for one Bitcoin is impossible to say it has not got a value. It has got value. Whether it's safe enough for you or interesting enough for you, that's a matter of personal choice. But I would say, from my banking experience, cryptocurrency has got value. Some more than others because they're more established, but it is right at the risky end of an investment strategy, if you like. Okay, you've got your rock solid government bonds at one end of the equation, you've got shares and stocks and currencies, and then you've got cryptos right at the other end. So I would always, and I say this to all my clients, because there isn't a week that goes by where cryptos don't get mentioned or I don't get asked about my opinion on cryptos. And my answer is always the same. Get specialist advice and only invest money in cryptos that you can do without. Because the sad truth of the matter, and this may change, particularly again with the Donald coming in. This may change in the States. And once it changes in the States, it'll change elsewhere. But at this moment in time, cryptocurrency world is completely unregulated. So unregulated, Alice, that me and you can start up a cryptocurrency fund in the next 10 minutes.
Can we not and say we did?
We don't need to fill in any paperwork. We don't need to show any qualifications. We don't need to show any segregated accounts or client protection of funds. None of that is relevant. We can go to the UK company's house or their local equivalent in Portugal, set up a company and have a very basic website, and we've launched our own cryptocurrency fund. Simple. That's it. And so therefore, obviously Bitcoin has been around a long time and all the rest of it, but it is highly unregulated. So in my opinion, only invest, if you're going to invest in cryptos, invest money that if it all goes wrong, you can do without.
Good advice.
But for that risk, the reward is it, it wasn't that long ago, the Bitcoin is at 8,000. Now it's at 100,000. So it's the risk reward ratio in economics. It's highly risky, but the rewards can be spectacular as well.
Right.
But please, please, please get specialist advice because there's a lot to it. There's a lot more to it than, say, registering in a stock market or opening up a deposit account with a bank or, there's lots of regulation around those.
Okay, here's the multi-million dollar question. How can businesses attract foreign investors from different currency zones to the Algarve, for example? And what does this mean in terms of currency exchange?
I think it goes back to what we were discussing earlier, Alice, in making life as simple as possible for clients. A business in the Algarve has every right in the world to invoice a client overseas in euros because they're in Portugal. That's the currency of Portugal. But the problem with that approach is it puts the hassle of making that euro payment onto a client who may not have the euro as their base currency. So the hassle factor goes to the client, the stress factor goes on the client, the currency risk goes to the client because they have to make the arrangements, they have to go to their bank, they have to convert their local currency to euros. That's fine and that's how most business is done. But I would suggest that here's an alternative solution. If you're serious about doing business with a particular part of the world, then it's not the most difficult thing in the world to either go to your bank and open up a bank account in that currency, or use somebody like Cosmos that can give you 35 of the most common currencies traded in the world. And then you're making life easy for then two benefits. First benefit is that you're making life as easy as possible for your client, because then you send out an invoice to a Canadian client in Canadian dollars. So they just do a straight Canadian dollar transfer, or in Australian dollars to an Australian client, or dirhams to a Dubai-based client, or wherever they happen to be based. You're making life easy as possible for them. Chances are there's a better attachment for the business and there's more longevity in that relationship. Now, you could argue, yeah, but then you get the currency risk. Yes, you do, but you also get a currency diversification because all of a sudden you've got euros in one pot, you've got Canadian dollars from that Canadian client, you've got Australian dollars from that Canadian. So you've naturally diversified. If you use the automated platforms, the bad news with that is on arrival of the Canadian dollars or Australian dollars or whatever foreign currency happens to be, they'll automatically be converted. But if you use a service like Cosmos, nothing is automatically done. So you can end up with various pots, a euro pot, a sterling pot, a dollar pot, a Canadian dollar pot, a Swiss franc pot, and so on and so on and so on. And then you liaise with us and say, Tony, my cash flow requirements are X. I've got this amount of euros. I need this amount of euros to pay my staff at the end of the month and pay the bills. I've also got these Canadian dollars and these Swiss francs and this South African rand. So in the next couple of days or in the next week, when those rates are favorable, convert those funds for me. So I've got enough funds of the euro, but I convert at the right time. A very simple solution that diversifies and helps you build relationships with overseas clients.
That answer leads us to the last question I have for you today. Considering all this information, why is Cosmos a game changer, and what can IPBN member companies do to get in touch with you and address any currency issues that they might have with their current methodologies?
The simple answer is that my industry has been completely taken over by technology over the last 20 years. So whilst there's a lot of choice of which broker to use, which app to use, which bank to use, they all have the same one size fits all availability. Okay, so it's a generic one size fits all platform or app or banking system where you, the client, have to log in and self-service. So it's totally driven by the client. You drive it as to when you do it, whether you accept their quote or not. There's no guidance, there's no thought process. It's a completely transactional based system. And that's completely taken over my industry. Okay. When I started, those systems didn't exist. And bank managers were bank managers and knew their clients, often on first name terms. So that when you, the client, went in for your 6 monthly review or 3 monthly review or whatever the case may be, you didn't have to start from scratch in front of a new person. You just carried on from where you left off. So the bank manager would welcome you and say, "Ellis, hello, how are you doing? So we met 3 months ago. We agreed this. How did it work out for you? Anything I can help with? Anything that needs adjusting?" So it's a lot more personalized service based on the finding solutions that fit your individual criteria rather than the transactional approach of you going on your mobile device and just putting in, "I need to buy dollars from the euro. That's the quote. Oh, well, I have no idea, so I might as well accept it."
Yeah, and as you said
So,
before, you are also very aware of like the best times to make these conversions, and you're looking at the optimal, if I need money for my payroll and I just want to get it done, then I'll just go ahead and press convert, and I wouldn't know that I could be losing X amount of whatever
that's right.
currency I'm working with. So, yeah, the personalized
Absolutely.
approach is not only, well, it's a better way of working person to person, but it's also can save you quite a bit of money.
It can save money, it can save time as well, because again, whether you're a personal client or a business client, if you're going to use, a regulated service, which I would always recommend, obviously for the safety of your funds, there are documents that are required. But the trouble is, again, with these platforms, you go on a platform and you've just sold your small apartment and you want to repatriate the funds back to your home country. You go on the platform, it's easy enough to go sell 100,000 euros. Here's the quote. Yes. And then once the funds get there, they must start asking questions like, "Well, where did you get these funds, Alice? And can you prove it?" And it's all done after the event. So you've converted and you still don't have the benefit of the money in your home. We do it the other way around because we start off with a discovery call with each client. We know what the circumstances are. And so, to use that same example, I would say, "Okay, let's say you're selling an apartment in the United States and bringing the monies to Portugal. No problem. I'm going to need a copy of the property sale contract. And I'm going to need this, and I'm going to need that, and so on and so on." And we'd have it all ready, all passed through compliance beforehand, so that when the funds arrived, you'll simply be, "Alice, good news. The solicitors or the realtor sent the monies. Dollars are in. Excellent news. The dollar's really strong against the euro today. So if you want to convert it straight away, it's a really good time. However, we've got this happening, so if you're in no rush, you might want to do half and half. You might want to hedge your bets and say, take advantage of the good rate for half your money. That takes care of your immediate expenses for cash flow coming up towards the end of the month with your payroll and everything else. But actually, given that there are German elections next month, and there's going to be more political turmoil, there's a good chance the rate will get even better for you. So you tell me how many euros you need. I'll sell just enough dollars to achieve those euros. That takes care of this month's payroll. But I actually think the rate will be better for you next month. So if you want, we can keep your powder dry to take advantage of it. It's down to yourself, but I'll be your eyes and ears in the market." And that's a service we try and offer. And the big change in my working lifetime, Alice, is when I first started, the difficulty is in finding the information was on analog. Then the internet came in, then email came in, and now the problem is there is so much information, and that means there's so much noise. And in between all that noise, there are certain signals. But it takes quite a lot of time and experience to work out that the difference between a signal and all that noise.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. In
You know,
any sector, in each and every
absolutely.
sector, working through the noise is
It
the most
is a
time-consuming bit.
huge, huge problem. You know, another change in my working lifetime, when I first started my first sort of 17 years in the City of London, the American markets were everything. So the mornings were nice and relaxed. You could go out for an early lunch. And as long as you were at your desk by sort of 1:30, 2 o'clock for New York opening, then it was manic until. And of course, China started to rise. And now you've got a situation where it literally is 24/7. You know, because you wake up in the UK or Portugal and see Australia, New Zealand, Japan, Vietnam, China, Korea are all coming towards the end of their day. Then you've got the India, another huge economic superpower, you know, the Middle East, you know, South Africa and the African continent, Europe. And then we get to lunchtime in the UK and Portugal. And then the eastern board seaboard, you know, opens up, you know, and then you come towards the end of your working day at 5 o'clock. But no, it's 9 o'clock in the morning in California or Vancouver. So it really is a 24/7 world. And like everything else in life, that creates opportunities, but you also can cause problems with the sheer volume of noise and trying to work out. Always say, anybody tells you they can read the market is kidding themselves. I've got 40 years' experience, and I would never say I can read the market. What I can give you is an educated guess
And
based on 40 years'
level of
experience.
honesty is something that also is refreshing to hear, especially in this sector.
Especially in finance, absolutely. But it's true. You know, I can give you 40 years' experience that, you know, when the inflation data comes out and it's this, then the central bank are likely to do this with interest rates, and that's likely to do that to the exchange rates. That's how, because I've seen it so many times in my working lifetime, you know. But the trouble is, the volumes involved are so huge. There is so much hot money out there that can change on a whim. For no particular economic or political reason, just on, oh, you know, like we saw with Bitcoin, example of that. There was no good economic or political reason as such for the rise of Bitcoin over the last 3 months, except Trump won the election. Trump's a big advocate of crypto. Everybody's sentiment goes super positive. Everybody piles in like a juggernaut and the price goes ballistic. But economic fundamentals, nothing's really changed. Political fundamentals, no law has changed. So it's all down to sentiment. But the sentiment carried the Bitcoin on a wave of euphoria. Then you get a little bit of profit taking and it goes sideways for a bit. And then, you know, Musk makes an announcement or whoever, and off he goes again. But that is really how on earth can you say to a client in October that Bitcoin's going to go firing off
No way to know.
based on fundamentals? But you've got to be aware. And that's a difficult part of my job. The economics and the politics you can learn with time and experience, but the sentiment. That's more guesswork than anything else. But, you know, with time again. So it's just, again, it goes back to some basic lessons that, you know, perhaps our grandmothers taught us. You know, we were talking about diversification earlier. Well, another way of looking at it is, I remember my grandmother always saying, don't put all your eggs in one basket. That's diversification. If the basket leaks, you lose all your eggs. So have different baskets. So sometimes, these old sayings or what have you have as much relevance today as anything else. Do
Well,
whatever it takes to treat each client like the individual they are.
and I think that's a perfect spot to end on because with all the turmoil and all the uncertainty and all the sentiments rising high and all flowing into each other and making a mess, it does seem like there is a thread of dependability, at least coming from your side of things. So I really do appreciate you, especially on a day like today, to me as an American. To walk me through this and to assuage any fears or misgivings that I have, at least over the next 24 hours. I'm feeling a bit better. I'm feeling a bit sunnier. So thank you for that. And a huge thank you once more to Tony for joining us. Really, again, this was illuminating. I appreciate you joining.
Very much for the advice.
I hope you enjoyed this podcast with Tony. If you're keen to get in touch, you can do so on Cosmos Currency Exchange's IPBN membership page or directly at cosmoscurrencyexchange.com. For Tony's associated media work, check out gravitationalpull.co.uk to read his weekly blog and to access his podcast library. If you'd like to hear more podcasts like this one that could potentially influence your business for the better, please be sure to subscribe to the Ireland Portugal Business Network's podcast on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. If you're interested in becoming the subject of one of our podcasts, please get in touch with us online or by emailing our general manager, Arnold Delville. Once again, this is Ellis Dixon, thanking you all for listening, and I hope you'll join me for our next IPBN podcast, which will be announced soon. Until then, stay connected.
This has been a production of the IPBN in partnership with Pinkroom. For more information, visit us online at ireland-portugal.com and on LinkedIn at Ireland Portugal Business Network. For more IPBN podcasts, find us on Spotify or visit our website for the full list of episodes.